Someone must have prayed hard for me to make the sermon short. I couldn't make this sermon long enough. But anyway, we'll find out. It was last Sunday when we learned that we are the body of Christ, the church. Church is not a building. I'm the church, you are the church, we are the church. We love that song. Where the Christ is the head and we are the members. Like the head and the body are inseparable, so are we with Christ. Like the body obeys the orders from the head, so do we obey the Lord and His commands. When the body obeys the head, it remains healthy. Likewise, when we obey the Lord, the church, the body of Christ, remains vital. When the body disobeys the head, however, it throws the entire body into jeopardy, like cancer. Likewise, our disobedience to the Lord would bring chaos and even death to the church of Jesus Christ. So last Sunday, I preached that we are eternally committed to Christ the head, and He is worth of our commitment, all of it. Now, if you think I've been sacrificing my entire life for the Lord, listen to David Livingstone, the famous missionary to Africa. He was once asked how he could make such a great sacrifice, that of spending his entire life in the jungles of Africa. He said, "Sacrifice? I never made a sacrifice. It is no sacrifice to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather, it is the highest privilege any man or woman could ever ask for." May that be true for all of us. So today, in part two of my three sermon series, let's think about our commitment to the church's mission as known as the Great Commission. Before I get to today's passage, Matthew 28, that's, by the way, known as the Great Commission, I need to introduce to you another verse in the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verse 21, where you see Jesus resurrected. He was speaking to His disciples, and He says He was sending them back to the world. This is what He said, "Just as the Father has sent Me, so I send you." Just as the Heavenly Father has sent Jesus to the world, so our Lord Jesus sends us into the world. Just as Jesus sent His disciples 2,000 years ago to all the nations, so He still does send us today. Now think of the reason why the Lord sending us into the world. Jesus doesn't send us for nothing. Neither does He ask us to return to the worldly patterns and the principles of living back there again. Rather, He sends us back into the world with a purpose. It is not an assimilation or going back to the old lifestyle, but rather a transformation. And that purpose we call the mission of the church, and that is clearly defined in today's text, Matthew 28, and 19 and 20, "Go and make disciples and teach them to obey Jesus' commands." So in my own words, what is our mission? I would say to take the light of Christ to the world of darkness, to heal the sick and to preach the good news of Jesus Christ who died on the cross on our behalf, to make disciples of all the nations and teach them to obey the Lord and to restore peace between God and the sinners in the world and to rescue the perishing and help them to find eternal life in Christ as we have. And that is our mission to which we are committed. So if you wonder what we are committed to, part two is we are committed to the Great Mission, Commission. So as we are engaged in this mission, we ought not to forget who we are. Oftentimes we forget. Now listen very carefully. Jesus said to His disciples again, "Just as the Father has sent Me, I too send you." Now, what did He mean by saying, "just as the Father has sent Me"? To understand the sentence, we need to know how God the Father sent His Son Jesus Christ to the world. He sent Him in a human form. Theologically, we call this incarnation, into human flesh. God came to us as a human. Being equal to God, Jesus could have stayed in the safe and secure immunity of heaven. Instead, He gave up the glory in heaven and came down to earth to give His life as a ransom for many. When He entered the human world, which is imperfect and sinful, He became like one of us, the scripture says, in every aspect, except He was sinless. He took up on our nature, He lived our life, and even tasted our death. He was even tempted in every possible way as we are. That's why He could help us. He could not have identified with us more closely than He did. Note here, though, Jesus did not lose His divine identity when He became human, did He? He became one of us without ceasing to be Himself. And He became human without ceasing to be God. There was a pastor and also theologian whose name was John Stott, called this way. It, Jesus' incarnation, was total identification, though without any loss of identity. I like that quote. Remember what Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. In other words, as He retained His identity when He came to the world, Jesus wants us to retain our Christian identity as He sends us into the world. He calls us to enter other people's worlds as He entered ours, yet without losing our identity as God's holy people. Once again, John Stott calls this the church's double identity. What is church's double identity? Holy one side and apostolic the other side. Called out and sent back in. Now this is what I mean by this. On the one hand, God has called us out of the world so that we may be His people, so that we may be His treasured possession. Holy as He is, and set apart for Him, and to be different from the world that is dominated by sin, so that we may have fellowship with God, so that we may worship and serve God only. And that's the Greek word for church. Ekklesia means that, called out. And that is the holy side of the church. So on the other hand, when God sends us apostles, that literally means the ones who are sent out, back into the world, He wants us to witness and to serve people in the world. Yet as we enter other people's worlds, we do not lose our identity as God's holy people. That is, not to lose our holiness or sanctification as God's chosen ones. Imagine this, a fish swimming through the waters, yet not affected by the water. In a nutshell, we must carry out our mission, the Great Commission in the world, without compromising our Christian values and principles and standards. And I'm going to talk about two things and I'll be through. In our mission, we must avoid the following two things. The first one is the attitude of, we are holy, but they are not. The attitude of holier than thou. This attitude keeps us saying that we are good, but the world is bad. We don't want to mix with them at all. Now, this approach entirely shuns the world. This will lead us to neglect our mission of going back to the world. It is judgmental as well. If we take this approach, we would stay within the church walls, never going out. We would serve the members only. And with this attitude, we would be insulated as well. We would shut ourselves out from the world and not to be involved in its life and even suffering. And therefore, we would have no one to serve or save. The second approach we need to avoid is this. We are to be conformed to the world. The attitude of we can and we should assimilate the worldly views and values because there's no difference between the world and the church, which is not right. And this approach is dangerous because it makes us forget why God has called us out from the world in the first place. If we are not a holy and distinct people of God, we have nothing to offer to the world or say to the world because we are compromised. As for closing, I would say this. We are committed to the church and her mission. Yet, in our making disciples of Jesus Christ, we should not lose our holiness. Our calling is twofold, to be holy as well as engaged in the world at the same time. Without this balanced biblical view on church and the world, we will never be able to fulfill our mission. Just remember, Jesus sends us out to the world in the same way God has sent him. Therefore, we need to be holy and at the same time making disciples of Jesus Christ. The best part is this, Christ is with us until we've finished our task. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oftentimes, Lord, we are satisfied and happy within the church walls because we are saved and the Lord is with us and it takes care of our needs and so forth. However, Lord, if we stay within the church, we're going to die, slowly but surely. That's not what Jesus intended. 2,000 years ago, he says, "You've seen me, the glory of resurrection. Now I'm sending you out as the Father has sent me." As we go out into the world, open our eyes, Lord, so that people need the Lord. Not just physically, not for the bread alone, but for their spiritual salvation. If we are truly thankful and eternally grateful for the salvation we have in Christ, why do we not share with each other? So Lord, open our mouth as well so that we would know what to say and share with our neighbors. Let us never be ashamed of the gospel which we believe. And once again, Lord, help us to keep our identity, the holy people of God, as we continue carrying out the Great Commission for all of us, all around us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.